In verse 8, this is going to conclude our series entitled Bearing Much Fruit. This is, I believe, part 7. Praise God. John 15 and verse 8. Oh, I love him. I love him, I love him, I love him. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't dwell in the past in the sense of sit there and look at all my shortcomings and failures and missteps, but it doesn't hurt every once in a while to look at what He's brought you from. Amen. It'll help you to appreciate Him, to love Him. Amen. And all the times that He's done good for you, you know, there's times we face different things in life, but He's pulled us up. I mean, we all could probably say, God, we have a testimony of God did something for us, you know, and He's the same God today as the God that He was when He did that for you. Same God. So don't be discouraged. He's still in your corner. Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much this morning. I just am absolutely in love with you and just so grateful for what you've done in my life, what you've done in all these people's lives. Father, you have so much for us. You want to be so real to us. You don't want to be some idea or some just religious thing, Father. No, you want to be a real life Father to us. Tasting and seeing that you are good. You want us to experience you. So Father, help us this morning. Father, this is one of the major ways that you have set it up that we can actually experience you. That we can actually hear from the living God is to hear from our pastor. So Lord, speak through me this morning that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you. I'll speak as the oracles of God. And not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you every single one of us is going to hear what we need to hear today. And we're going to walk out of here changed, and walk out of here blessed, and walk out of here with hope and with direction and insight, revelation, and correction if need be. And we'll give you the praise, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, John 15 and 8, of course, is our golden text. We're going to spend a lot of time on this. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." I mean, what a shocker. The greatest dad in the world wants his children blessed. I mean, that shouldn't shock you. Amen? He wants you to bear much fruit, and we've looked at that. Two reasons why. Number one, He loves you. He's the greatest dad there ever was. You know, I could say this. I don't think I'm the greatest dad ever, but I'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that loves their kids more than me. You might love your kids as much as I love my kids, but as far as I know, I love my kids as much as I can, and I only want the best things for them. Well, how much more God? Amen. He wants you to bear much fruit. Praise God. And not only that, for the fact that you're His child, but the more fruit you bear, the bigger blessing we can be to the world. And that's what we are. We're the body of Christ. Jesus on the earth was the literal, physical body of Christ. And you'd say about His life, He bear much fruit in His life. Joy, peace, victory, prosperity, healing, all these things. He was the epitome of a fruit-bearing tree, praise God. Well, now we're His body, no different. He wants us to bear much fruit and go out and be the doers, praise the Lord. And so those are the reasons. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Again, just getting through this to get to our last message here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. So He says He wants you to bear fruit. Well, it says in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. So of course He wants good laborers going with them, fruit-bearing laborers. But it says, you are God's husbandry. And of course, we've mentioned what that word means in the Greek. If you have an Amplified Bible or a Greek concordance, that word husbandry means garden, field, and vineyard. So if He wants you to bear much fruit, now we get a bigger picture of it, that we're a field to God, that we're a vineyard to God, that we're a garden to God. Well, what does a garden do? What does a field do? What does a vineyard do? It produces. A good field produces a good crop. A good garden produces a good harvest. A good vineyard produces fruit. Praise God. And so that's what God wants for us. Again, let me just say it this way. Some people don't get turned on, and I don't understand this. They don't get turned on by the idea of being blessed to be a blessing. But let me just say it personally. Life is way better when you're bearing fruit.
Amen.
When you have joy operating in your life and peace operating in your life and you have soundness of mind and you have favor operating in your life and you have health operating in your life and you have financial abundance and prosperity operating in life, life's better.
Yeah.
I've been on both sides. It's better bearing fruit than not bearing fruit. And so if He says, I want you to bear fruit, I'm glorified when you bear fruit. He's got to tell us how to bear fruit. And so that's what we've been looking at. How can we bear much fruit so not only our lives are blessed, but we can be a blessing? And we found this over in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Jesus' sermon, the parable of the sower. And we saw in verse 14, because again, if you think of us like a garden, like a field, well, you could have a field and you can have a garden, but until you plant a seed, you don't get any growth. You don't get any production. A farmer can't go out at harvest time after not sowing seed during seed time and go out at harvest time and be upset that there's no harvest. He understands that's not how it works. Well, God's the same thing. If you're a field, if you're a garden, if you're a vineyard, God knows you're not going to produce. You're not going to grow fruit. You're not going to be the blessed person and be a blessing like you should be until there's seed sown. Well, what kind of seeds? Do we go down to the tractor supply and buy some seeds and dump them on our head and stand in the rain and hope joy comes out of us? No, we know that. It's not how it happens. But there's spiritual seeds. And the Bible says in Mark 4 and verse 14, it says, the sower soweth the word. So the word is the seed. And we saw that the word is incorruptible. It's perfect. It's sharp. It's alive. It's powerful. Glory to God. It's the greatest seed there ever was. It's got maximum growth potential. But a seed, no matter how good a seed needs ground, just like the ground needs seed. Well, the Bible tells us in Mark 4 and 14, and we saw before, that he wants to bear fruit, that we're a garden, we're a field. So you already know that you're a piece of ground, a piece of dirt spiritually, for it to be able to be cultivated, to be able to be watered, planted, sowed into. And we saw verses 14 through 20, we saw that there's four different types of ground that the seed falls on, didn't we? In the last five weeks, we took a few weeks on the one, we saw the examples of what bad ground is. The wayside ground, the stony ground, and the thorny ground. That even though the precious, perfect, incorruptible, powerful, sharp, alive seed fell on those grounds, the Bible says they were unfruitful, and we looked at those grounds, and we tried to look at our lives and say, okay, does my life look like the wayside ground? If it does, adjust. Does my life look like the stony or the thorny ground? If it does, we adjust. Why? We want to bear fruit. Amen. We can't bear fruit if we're bad ground. But today we've made it finally, praise God. And today we're going to look at the good ground. So today we're going to look at, if you say, I'm somebody, I want peace, maximum joy, maximum abundance and supply, maximum health, maximum favor, maximum protection, maximum all these blessings that God has for His people, I'm going to tell you today how to get yourself in line for that. Are you ready? So Mark 4 and let's go to verse 20. We already looked at all the bad ground. We've already got all the kinks worked out. If you haven't, go back to live stream and keep kink working. Sometimes you just got to kink work a little bit, you know. And verse 20 says this. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Look at the first characteristic of the person sown on good ground. Such as hear the word. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but that's number one. You've got to be in a place where you're getting constantly watered, constantly sown into, constantly planted. And isn't it amazing, though, it can't stop there because all the other grounds that were bad, that didn't produce, they were hearing the word. The wayside heard, the stony heard, and the thorny heard. They all heard the word, but they didn't. So it's not about coming in here, it's about what we do with the seed. Well, we're going to find out. These are they which are sown on good ground. What's good ground? Now, if you have good ground plus the best seed possible, you're going to get a good return. You're going to get a good harvest. You're going to get a good result, praise the Lord. Or you're going to, like the Bible says, bear much fruit. So the good ground, they hear the word, the seed hits them, it comes in contact with them. But why are they good ground? Well, they hear the word, and the Bible says, and receive it. Amen. And then look it, and bring forth some 30, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So even within the good ground, there's levels of people of how much fruit they produce. But I'll tell you what, producing 30-fold is better than producing 5-fold. It's better than producing 0-fold, praise God. So we want to get into this good ground category. Well, the Bible tells you here, right here, how to do it. It's simple, it's basic. All you have to do is two things. Hear the word, receive the word. That's it. If you'll hear the word and receive the word, you'll bear fruit. I mean, okay, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, I mean, that's it. But we know we need a little more help on that. What does that mean to receive the word? But see, I love how simple God has made it. The devil's lie to people is that this book is so big and it's so hard and we can't do this. No, just come hear the word. And when you hear the word, receive the word you hear, and you'll immediately start producing fruit. It's that simple. Don't let the devil lie to you. He's a liar. That's what he has to do, but that's all he knows how to do. So let's find out what it means to receive the word. Wow, how simple, Pastor Mike. Go with me to James chapter 1. In verse, let's see here. What verse do I want to go to? James is at the back of the Bible after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1. Let's go to verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. What's he saying? Get the word in you. Get sown onto, praise the Lord, which is able to save your souls. Here it is, verse 22. So, verse 21 said this, what? Receive the word. Well, what does the Bible say in Mark chapter 4? It says, the good ground hears the word and receives the word. So he says, receive the word of God with meekness, which is able to save your souls, verse 21. But what does that mean to receive it? Verse 21 tells us, but be doers of the word. So it can't be just hearing it. Because hearing it, it says hear and receive. So hearing it's not receiving it. It's part of it. But the full scope of receiving the word, which leads to the 30, the 60, and the 100. He says, wherefore lay apart, verse 21, superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness. I told you, if you hear and receive it, which is able to save your souls, verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only. That's the wayside ground. That's the thorny ground, and that's the stony ground. They're hearers only. Do not pat yourself on the back because you're here this morning. Pat yourself on the back when you walk out and do what you hear this morning. That's where the change comes in, praise God. There are lots of Christians hearing the word of God, and there ain't a fruit to be found. There's fruit. Oh, there's fruit, but it's bad fruit. I've seen, you know, I don't like those bananas with the big yellow or the big brown spots on them. I stay away from those things. Or the apples with the big brown spot, and you accidentally bite into that thing, and the gag reflex kicks in. I don't like those kind of. You can bear bad fruit. The fruit of crisis, the fruit of turmoil, the fruit of struggle, the fruit of depression, the fruit of anxiety, the fruit of stress. I don't want to bear that kind of fruit. But that's what the hearers only bear. Doing the word of God. So, how do we produce fruit? We hear, receive. How do we receive the word? We do what we hear. It's that simple. So, if you're a person that says, yes, sign me up. I want to produce fruit. And again, why do you want to produce fruit? Because it'll benefit you, and it'll benefit the kingdom, and it'll bring glory to God. Amen. Amen. How is that possible? Hear and receive. Receive means to do the word of God. Amen. Basic, basic stuff. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Now, so the good ground that separates from all the bad ground is one thing. They do what they hear. They hear something that's sown onto them, and they actually do it. And that's why they bear fruit. Praise God. It's the truth. That's how it works. Now, I want to show you what the Bible says about doing God's word. Because who cares what I think? Who cares what you think? What does He think about it? In Matthew 7 and verse 24, now remember, hear it, receive it, which means to do it, brings forth fruit. Therefore, this is Jesus talking. I know it's white letters up there, but it's red in my Bible. I promise you, this is Jesus talking. He says, therefore, Whosoever hears these sayings of mine, and, everybody say and, means there's a connection to the hearing, and does them, what? The word. He said, I will liken that person unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. You're going to see the house is their life. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house. Why? We're not exempt as Christians from tests and trials. But if we'll build on the rock, we're exempt from defeat. Amen. We're exempt from being overcome because we are the overcomers. So it says, built his house upon a rock, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. Why? It was founded upon a rock. The rock of what? The Word of God. Okay, so that's the good ground. That's more examples or more proof of fruit being produced by hearing and doing the Word. Well, what did the people, what did Jesus say about not doing the Word? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. So now we're going to get what Jesus thinks is a fool. Nobody wants to be a fool in Jesus' eyes, but there are a lot of his children that he looks at and says, fool, 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 fool. Again, what's Jesus' definition of a fool? Here's these sayings of mine, and does them not, they shall be likened unto a foolish man, and he's going to give us an example of a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but I am the bearer of the Word of God. The storms are coming. The winds are coming, the rains are coming. They'll come in all different forms. Forms in your finances, forms in your attacks against your kids, forms against your finances, against your job, against your mind, against your body. The storm's coming. But the outcome of what that storm brings depends on what you're building your life on. This idea that we can just be a Christian and let God take care of everything without our participation is such a lie from the pit of hell. That's why I told everybody here, get on live stream, listen to that Wednesday night service a couple weeks ago called Choices. You'll see how important your role is. Praise God. So Jesus said the person that doesn't do the word is like a carpenter who builds a house on the sand. Now let me ask you a question. If you had a neighbor that was getting ready to build a house, or a family member that bought a piece of land and they're getting ready to build a house, and they said, hey, want to come out and see today? It's an exciting day. They're pouring our foundation. And you go out to the property, and you're expecting the cement truck to back up, and there comes the sand truck. And they start dumping the sand out, and they got it all squared off for your foundation, start dumping the sand. And then you start to see, if they dump the sand, they're starting to build upon that sand. You would say that is one stupid carpenter. Wouldn't you? That is one dumb carpenter. Wouldn't you say that? Well, listen to what the Message Bible says about this. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house, for it was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, I went to church today, I eased my conscience, I look good to people. He says, and don't work them in your life. You are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Now, again, I'm not trying to be harsh with my wording. I'm just going by the Savior's words. If you saw a carpenter Building a structure on sand, you'd say that's dumb. That's foolish. That's stupid. When Jesus looks at His children and has the Word preached to them, and they hear the Word and do nothing with it, He looks at you like that dumb carpenter who's building a house on the sand. He says, you're a fool, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're being a moron. I say, wow, ouch, I didn't say it, He did. Go look up the synonyms for the word fool. Moron, stupid, dumb are all there. It would be dumb, and there's nobody here that would say that carpenter's not dumb. That carpenter's a smart carpenter. No. See, what is wrong with this guy? God is up in heaven watching you live your daily lives as Pastor Mike is screaming his brains out twice a week. The word's being preached, and yet you do nothing with it. And He's up there saying, what is wrong with you? Why would you build your life on something that's going to crumble? I'm telling you, the storms are coming, He's saying. You need to build on the foundation of the Word. Amen. Whether or not you crumble and whether or not you bear fruit is not up to Him. It's up to you. Hallelujah. John chapter 2, verse 1. Praise God. Doing the Word of God. I got a revelation when I wrote that book, His Goodness. It's interesting, I've had that faith book completely, about 5 to 8% written for a long time. And I just have been, in my heart, you know, I keep putting it off, you know, it's not because I'm delaying. And every time I go to just try to finish it, I mean, so, been sitting on the computer for probably about 2 years now, just completely done the faith book. And now I know why. You know, the Spirit of God, past couple of weeks, told me redo the whole thing. Okay, Lord, you got it. Now I know why I didn't put it out and release it. So it's coming, praise God. But in that faith book, I had a revelation that there's just three things you need to do to be blessed in life. That's all. Number one, you get saved. That's very simple. You just ask Him into your heart. Number two is to plant yourself in a Bible-teaching church that's sowing the Word, that you have a pastor. That's two. And then number three is just do the Word. Do the Word you hear. That's it. It's that simple, people. Your life from going from here to here is all a matter of you planting, hearing, and doing. That's it. That's it. And the devil will put every thought and circumstance and situation and idea in your head. He'll use people, he'll use thoughts, he'll use imaginations, he'll use fears to get you to not do it, because it's the doing of the Word that translates into the fruit. Now you see why that grace message has taken off. Because the devil wants people to believe you don't have a part to play. Well, the fruit doesn't start to produce until you do the Word. Amen. John 2 and verse 1 says, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet to come. Now I'm just going to stop right there and just tell you this. If you use this portion of Scripture as your Scripture to back yourselves in your drinking problem, you are so deceived. You are so deceived. And you say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Come see me and we'll talk in private and go over what the Word says about some of these things, okay? Because so many people will take it and say, Jesus turned the water into wine. Drink, let's go down to the bar. Drink is okay. Let's get hammered. Jesus did it. You're deceived. Amen? You're deceived. Yeah, I'll just say that. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. All throughout the Word talks about people not being sober in their minds and not being drunk and things like that. Jesus couldn't have turned water. All you need to know is that Jesus couldn't have turned water into wine for people to get sloshed on. There must have been something different in that time frame and in that culture, and with the alcohol, that's different now. Again, I'm just telling you have a problem with this, and this is your thing that you hold on to, you need to come see me. It's hurting your life. We'll go over the word. Don't just take what I say, but I just have to stop that because every time I preach, I feel like there's people say, see, Jesus turned water into wine. It's my excuse. No. Take the whole word in context. There's no way Jesus could have done it for the purposes that people do it now. He couldn't have done it. He would have been violating his father's will, been violating his father's word. But anyways, she said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come. He's saying, mom, leave me alone. Nice way. He's saying, it's not my time to manifest yet. Because she's saying, do something about this. I know she sensed something about her son, that there was miracle working ability in him. So he said, my hour's not yet come. She knew it was close. And listen to what she said in verse 5. His mother said unto the servants, and this is what I say unto you going forward today, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Whatsoever he says to you, do it. Amen. About your kids, about church attendance, about special guest minister meetings, about money, about forgiveness, about love. Whatever he says to you, do it.
Amen.
Amen. That's what trips people up. And you look in this, what he told them to do was very inconvenient and did not make sense. He said, what? Take the huge water pots, go all the way down to the well, fill them up. And they're thinking, Jesus, we need water, not wine. Or we need wine, not water. Why are you telling us to get more water? But Mary told them, don't question what you hear. Do what you hear. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what you hear at times will make your mind go on tilt, make your flesh go on tilt, make your husband and your wife and your family say, what in the world? But the Bible says, whatsoever he says, do it.
Amen.
Don't consult someone else. Don't consult your feelings. Don't consult your checkbook. Don't consult your spouse. If he says it, do it. Yeah. Your fruit is being held back. Because you have, I don't know. Does it make sense? I don't feel like it. Okay, you can live that life, but you are holding up and hindering the fruit that God wants to produce in your life.
Amen.
So I want to help you this morning with the doing of the word. Because the Lord, when I was meditating on this, gave me two reasons why people don't do the word. Are you ready to find out?
Amen.
Number one, it's because you haven't accepted this as the actual word of the true living God. It's like we've separated him and heaven from this. You can't. They are one. And you haven't accepted this as the word of God. And even to take it deeper, because who are you most? Most people are not in the word all day. Not listening to sermons all day, not being able to be in the world all day. You have a life and things. You're getting your revelation, and a lot of you have learned everything that you know about God through this church.
Amen.
Most people have heard what they've heard through coming to church and hearing it from a pastor. Amen? So, I'll take it even a step further. You haven't accepted when I've said God's word as it being God's word. Now I want to go to a scripture with you. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. And I'll tell you what I've heard people say, and I giggle at it inside my head, you know, because I don't want to laugh at them. That's not nice. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Look what Paul said. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because before I finish that, you have to understand how you're going to hear from God on the earth. You're going to hear from God in three ways. You're going to hear from God through your private meditation of the Word. You're going to hear from God through the Holy Ghost. But one of the major avenues you're going to hear from heaven is out of my mouth.
Amen.
How many times have you been in service and pastor said something? You say, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed to hear. That was God's talking to you.
Amen.
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 But look what Paul said. He tells us here in 1 Thessalonians 2. For this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, that means they heard it and did it, which you heard of us. So he's saying, you wouldn't have got to do the Word of God to know what to do without us telling you. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not belittling people, but the majority of people hear and know what to do because it comes from up here. Tell you what to do with your money. Tell you how to raise your kids. Tell you how to live a life of love. Tell you how to live by faith. Tell you how to follow the Holy Ghost. You're not finding that stuff out by yourself. A lot of you found it out brand new when you heard me preach it. Amen? Well, that's what he's saying. He said, you received, which was doing the Word, hearing the Word, doing it. When you heard the Word of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is the truth, in the truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So he's saying, when you heard it, you didn't say, oh, that's just what Paul says. That's just what Apollos says. That's just what Peter says. That's just what James said. That's just what John says. No. When they open their mouth and preach the Word, they're saying, that's what God has said. Amen. Amen. Listen to what the Message Bible says about this. And now we look back on all this and thank God, an artesian well of thanks. When you got the message of God that we preached, you didn't pass it off as just one more human opinion, but you took it to heart as God's true word to you, which it is. God Himself at work in you, believers. I've heard people say this. I've heard other people report back to me that people say this. I've had people say this to my face. I know that's what you say, Pastor Mike. I know that's what Pastor Mike says. Pastor Mike is not saying it. God is saying it. I'm relaying it. And the problem is, you look at me as, that's just the 39-year-old guy who had a rap sheet of a past. He's telling me what to do. You've missed the whole thing. It's kind of like, if someone were to show up, well, I'll just use it this way. If someone were to show up and serve you papers, right? They had to go to court for something. And let's say, I don't know, Joe does it. And Joe's not a part of the trial or part of the case, but Joe serves you the papers. And on the papers, you know, it says this court expects you to be here at this time, this date, whatever. It's like you closing your door and saying, that's just what Joe thinks. I'm not going to court. That's what Joe thought. I'm not doing that. You get in trouble that way. Amen. You get in trouble that way. It's the same thing. I know that's what Pastor Mike says about money. I know that's what Pastor Mike says about raising my kids. I know that's what Pastor Mike says about the special guest minister meetings and things like that. And then it's not as big to you. But what if God were to appear, or Jesus were to appear? You know what they would say? The same things I'm saying. Because I'm just plagiarizing what He's already said. You know what God would say about tithing? The exact same thing I say about tithing. You know what Jesus would say about coming to special guest minister meetings that will perfect you, the Bible says? The same thing that I say. You know what Jesus would say about coming to church and being faithful and having a pastor? The same thing I say. Because all I'm saying is the Word of God, but people have passed it off. That's what Pastor Mike says. No, I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just the FedEx guy. He's saying it. I'm relaying it. That's all there is to it. Remember over there, for time's sake, we won't turn there. I'll just give you a quick synopsis on the story. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah is on the run, you know, and God sent him by the brook, and the brook dried up. You know, he's on the run because he prophesied there would be a drought, and there was. And the king of that land and the queen of that land were not happy, so they wanted to have him killed. So he's on the run, and God said, go by the brook. I'll feed you by the ravens and the brook. And then he said, the brook dried up, and God said, okay, I want you to go down to so-and-so place. There's a widow woman there that I have commanded to sustain you. So God is telling Elijah, I've talked to a widow woman. She's going to provide for you. So he goes down to the widow woman in 1 Kings 17. And he gets there and he finds her. But and she's making food and getting ready to make a meal. And he says, make me some. Because God already told him, this woman's going to take care of you. And what does she say? She says, I don't have enough for you. I only have enough for me and my son. And remember Elijah, and she said, after that, that's all we have. I'm going to die. And Elijah says, fear not. Go and do as you have said, but make me food first. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, that the barrel of meal and the oil and the barrel of meal shall not drop, and you'll eat for many days. So he told her, if you'll do what I say, this will be the result, which was they didn't die, and they ate for many days, right? They were blessed, supernaturally blessed. The minister told her, if you'll do this, this is what will happen. Now, what if she would have said, that's just what Elijah thinks. That's just what the man, the flesh and blood, thinks. I'm not doing that because that's what a guy says. That's what a lady says. No, she took what he was saying as the authoritative word of the living God, which how on earth can you not obey God's word? And so she does it and leads to the blessing. Now imagine if she wouldn't have done it. And so many people, well, I know Pastor Mike thinks that. Pastor Mike says this. Yeah, but what is Pastor Mike saying? Pastor Mike is just saying what God is saying. But how many of you could say, I wouldn't know a lot of things that God is saying if it wasn't for my messenger boy? Right? That's not belittling you, but there's a lot of you in here that you wouldn't know hardly anything about God until it got relayed to you. But if you look at it as just a mere man saying it, it won't have as much weight to you, and the carrying out and the doing of it won't be done. You'll miss out. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 3 and verse 5. So number one, you haven't accepted it as the actual word of God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding, that's your own thinking, your own ways. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. Now let's look at verse 6 because I'm going to give you the practical illustration of what verse 6 says. You're struggling financially. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge me and I'll direct you. Well, how's he going to direct you? Well, if you're praying about your finances, he's going to speak to you through your pastor, through the Holy Ghost, or through your private meditation in the Word. But everything always is going to always go back to his Word. Because the Bible says that the Word is the greatest prophecy we can ever get. So, if you say, Lord, I'm struggling financially, what do I do? He's either going to give you a verse, he's going to say something through your pastor who's giving you verses, or the Holy Ghost is going to say something which is going to line up with the Word, because the Holy Ghost is the Word. So you're praying about finances, God's going to give you a word. Well, in all your ways acknowledge Him, you acknowledge Him. Father, I'm struggling financially. I'll direct your path. Well, how's He going to direct your path? Through the Word. Either the word spoken in your spirit, the word spoken through your pastor, or the word spoken through the written word of God when you're at home studying. But the point is that it's always going to come, the paths being directed is always going to come through the word. So God's going to say, you're saying, I'm struggling financially, he's going to give you a word. It's going to be a verse, a scripture. That scripture, how do we bear the fruit to get out of that? We hear it and do it. He's going to give you something in the word to do or to change, and then if you'll do it, that problem will change. Father, I'm struggling in my marriage. Father, I'm struggling with my kids. They're unruly and out of control. Okay, acknowledge your ways, acknowledge me. I'll direct you, but how am I going to direct you? I'm going to direct you. What did he say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. What's he saying? I'm guiding and directing you through the word. But the word is not just to hear it. He's going to give you something to do to change it. So in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct you. How's he going to direct you? You're going to bring it to the word. He's going to tell you. He's going to say, tithe, give offerings. sow, give to somebody. Teach your kids honor, discipline, go to church. He's going to give you a word, and then you're going to have, now the ball's in your court. God told you what to do, and if you'll do it, you'll be changed. If you don't, you won't. Now, when the negative consequences come from not doing the word, it's not God bringing those. If Caleb wants to climb a tree, did I tell him not to climb, and I step away from him, and he climbs a tree? And I say, buddy, don't do that. It's dangerous. You don't go up that tree unless I'm right there under it, you know, and I go take a phone call or go inside for a second. He's almost 8 years old, fully understands, knows how to be obedient, knows what's right and what's wrong. And he goes up to that tree and falls down and breaks his arm. There was a negative consequence of doing what I said not to do, but I did not bring that negative consequence on him. It's not God in heaven. When you run through his stop signs, he's not the one T-boning you in the middle of the intersection. The wages of sin is death. Well, what's sin? Sin is just not doing the word. Didn't Jesus say, if you don't do the word, the storms are coming and it'll collapse your house? The wages of sin is death. Amen. So, in all your ways, acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. So number one, I said you haven't accepted as the word of God. What's number two, why people don't do the word? Because the answer's in verse 5. You don't trust him. Look at verse 5. If you go back there, Kim Lai. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And then it goes on to say, when you trust him, you'll acknowledge him. And he'll direct your paths. When you acknowledge him, you're acknowledging, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Help me. So then he'll tell you, you do it and your paths will be directed. But why don't we let him direct our paths by the doing or the hearing of the word and then the doing it? Because we don't trust him. I'm going to use money as an example because that's the one that hits everybody right square in the chest. It does. It's the one people get ticked off the most and people get upset about the most, but it's the one that's the most practical because almost every single day, most people are thinking about their finances or dealing in their finances and thinking about a bill or thinking about this coming up or thinking about that. I, for the life of me, Kim, will I go to Malachi 3 and verse 10, would you please? Malachi 3 and verse 10. Now remember, God's word is his word. So let's look at a quick example of this. Bring all the tithes. So remember, you're not looking at it as me saying this. I'm relaying what he's saying. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there's meat in my house. And prove me now herewith. So now he's saying, he even goes out on a limb with your money. He doesn't do this in any other area of the Bible. The one area in the Bible where he says, actually, test me and try it. It says here, you'll not find if you spend the rest of the week studying the Bible from beginning to end, anywhere else where he says, prove me. What he's saying to you, in Pastor Mike language is, I double dog dare you to do this. That's what he's saying. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I, he's staking his stinking reputation on this. He says, I, who's I? You know, the God who gave you everything through Jesus. Amen. The God who already proved to you, you are worth everything to me. Right. He said, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. He says, I'm not done there. Let's go to verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed. So here's God's telling you, do something. And if you do it, God stakes his reputation on all the good things that will follow. But I can't for the life of me figure out how people can hear this over and 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 walk out and not do it. What about the windows of heaven opening up, blessings in abundance, nations calling you blessed, not casting your fruit before time in the field, the devourer being rebuked? Which part of that don't you like? What thoughts have you been listening to telling you not to do that, that has you convinced more than this? You don't trust him. You don't trust him. Because I look at that and say, my God, he's put himself out there. Now, I'm using this. It's not the only thing, but it is the one that is the trigger mechanism for most people. Money. You know what's funny to me? I was accused one time of only preaching about money. I said, you know what? I'm tired of people lying about me. I'm going to go on live stream and look. And I went back all the way to 2013 is when some of our messages go back to. All the way to 2018. 92.3 or 7, I can't remember which one it was, percent of the time that I preach, I never preach a message on money. Not even 8% of the time I'm up here do I talk about money. But I preach about it all the time. And Jesus, just so you know, now let's get this straight now. Jesus talked more about money, material things, and possessions than heaven and hell combined. It wasn't even close. There's more verses in the Bible by far concerning those things. But so what's he saying? He's saying, I talk about it a lot. I talk about it a lot. I talk about it a lot. Well, isn't it interesting? The number one thing people call me about, the number one thing people have problems with, the number one thing people struggle with is money. So what's people's answer? The word is people's answer. So why does Pastor Mike talk about money? Because that's what people are coming to me saying we're struggling with. Well, what's the answer to your struggles? The word is the answer to your struggles. Amen. I might get to heaven and him yell at me. You only talked about it 7% of the time, son. I talked about it a bigger percentage of anything in the word. Yeah. So why won't people do that? Because they don't trust him. Why won't people? I can tell you what the word says about these Reverend Green meetings and meetings that come up and things and what we need and what they're going to get from them, what the prophet has and the blessings. And I can tell you. But why won't people sacrifice to come out those 3 nights and trust the word of God? Because the Bible says there's areas in your life that are not perfected that will be perfected. That means your life gets better. Amen. If you'll just show up and hear it and walk out and do it. But why won't people do it? Because you don't trust God enough. You don't trust God enough to actually sacrifice a Sunday night, a Monday night, and a Tuesday night from your normal routine, but you'll do it for doctor's appointments, for school, and for your job, but you won't do it for God because you don't trust him enough. The Bible talks about teaching your kids honor and when you withhold discipline, but why are some parents so afraid to discipline their children and teach them honor and teach them respect and obedience, and the kids run the home? Yet God says, if you don't correct your child, it'll bring shame to you later. That's what it says. You don't teach them honor and discipline, you're not doing them a favor. But they don't trust God enough over the thoughts and feelings that they're having. Come on. I'm trying to get you to bear much fruit. Go to Genesis chapter 12. We're almost done. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Whatever he says, do it. Oh, the devil's lied to so many people about things. The blessing's in the doing, not the hearing. The hearing gets it started, but it's the doing. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. So I'm not even telling you what it is right now. And I will make you a great nation. See, the word always comes, Genesis 12 and verse 1. The word always comes with opportunity to do it, but God always on the other side of the doing is a blessing. Always. You're so caught up on the 10% that you're blinded by the blessings. It's true. Some people say, I can't afford to do it, and I'm over here saying, I can't afford to never not do it. It's too good. It's too wonderful. Too many things have happened. Too many blessings. Amen. Glory to God. You can teach about putting God first and the kingdom first with your about family and their kids, and people still put other things before God. Don't trust them enough. Don't trust the word enough. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, verse 2, Genesis 12, verse 2. And make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curse you. And all in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. So God gives Abraham a word. Not an easy word. Get up from everything you know and go. Where do I go? Just go. Well, how many of us would have been like, I need some more details, Father? Hey, Pastor Mike, quit your full-time job at the farm and start a church in South Dayton. You know how many stinking questions I had that he wasn't answering? Because he told me, this is where it starts. You do this, blessings will open up, and you'll get more of the picture. Amen.
Amen.
Start a church in South Dayton, huh? Where's that? Get on Wikipedia real quick and find out there's 600 people here. Why would you do that? Well, this is why he would do it.
Amen.
And all the people that are to come.
Amen.
Amen. He had you on your mind when he was talking to me in a cherry orchard. You were on his mind. Why? You. Amen. All the questions. He says, go, Abraham. Well, verse 4. So Abram sat there and questioned it. Dragged his feet for a half a year. Watched things fall apart that didn't need to fall apart. Oh, wow, I just opened a door. I better go through it. People go through things all the time because of what they were building, and then the crash came. Say, ouch, that's hurtful. No, that's what Jesus said would happen if you keep hearing and hearing and hearing and don't do it. He says there's a crash coming, and it shows up in many ways. There are things that people go through that are so unnecessary. And God's not causing it. Amen. It's because we don't do it. Amen. Try to help you here. What about when God told Abraham to go take his son up on a mountain and sacrifice him? Well, that was an easy one. You know why he did it? Because he trusted God. God had already told him that Isaac, through Isaac, is going to be the covenant. Well, if you kill Isaac, there goes the covenant and God's promises. He trusted God enough that if I kill my son, God is going to have to raise him from the dead right here and now. He's going to have to. Or he's going to stop me right before I do it, because he already told me, well, when God says whatever the end of doing the word is, tithe, you'll get this, give offerings, multiply this, forgiveness, your faith works, follow the Holy Ghost, all these things that he tells you to do, Abraham, praise God, trusted God so much that he walked out the unthinkable. When imagine what his flesh and his mind was saying about that. Some people couldn't even, I mean, I talk about Wednesday night service, and that shoots through one ear and out the other faster than the speed of light. Some people I talk about coming to guest minister meetings, and that the Bible says this about them, and goes in one ear, not the other. You just don't trust God enough to actually take him at his word. What does he say? Whatsoever he says. Well, who's he going to say it through? Me.
Amen.
Do it.
Amen.
Do it. Again, if it's lined up with the word, well, how do you trust God more? I'll just tell you the answer. Faith comes by what?
Hearing
the word. You know that book I wrote, His Goodness? That whole book is about His goodness. I mean, the title, it tells you. The contents of the book are actually in line with the title. His goodness. Well, you could take that book, you could take the Word of God, and you could go back and look at who is my God. Faith cometh by hearing the Word. Why will people listen to their checkbooks and their feelings and their thoughts about unforgiveness and their flesh when the Word has said one thing's going to happen but their circumstances say another? Why have they listened to it? Because you just don't trust God enough. Well, how are you going to trust God? Get to know Him more. Read that book until you get so sick of reading it, and then keep reading it. Get in the Bible and go back and look at all the ways Jesus and God delivered people, helped people, came through on His Word when it looked like there was no way. Go back and look. Meditate on that. What's going to happen? Faith is going to rise up. Faith to trust Him. So then, when you hear something like a, take your son, get out of here, do this word that makes no sense, you'll say, I believe Him. I trust Him. And my fruit bearing depends on me not just hearing what He says, but doing what He says. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word this morning. Lord, if we would just know You more. Father, tithing doesn't scare me. Coming to church and putting the kingdom of God first isn't a big scary thing. And walking in love and doing the Word, it's not scary to me because I trust You. You are faithful and You are good. And so, Lord, I thank You this morning that everybody's eyes are open. And those areas, Father, that they're struggling in, maybe it's committing. They could be here on a Wednesday. They just haven't trusted You enough that what Your Word says will overcome what their thoughts are saying. Or maybe they didn't even think of coming to the Reverend Greer services, but they know the Word says to be here. Maybe today after today they'll step out in faith. Maybe they're struggling financially. They know what the Word says. They know what Pastor Mike has said about tithing, but they just haven't done it. Maybe they know they need to forgive somebody because the Word says their faith will be hindered, but their feelings, maybe today they'll actually do it. I pray, Father, that everybody's hearts would be open to the correction of the Word of God, to the revelation. Father, You're just trying to get us into a blessed category. Lord, we thank You for the Word this morning. We thank You for the light and the lamp. Without the light and the lamp, we wouldn't know where to go. We wouldn't have answers. We wouldn't know what to do. So we welcome it. We thank You for it. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're listening to my voice, either in this room, live stream, or in the future on an archive, and you can say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven if today were my last day on earth. I want to tell you how you can know you're going to heaven. If you believe in Jesus, that's the first step. The second step is to receive Him. If you're here today or listening, and you could say, I do believe in Jesus, but I've never received Jesus. I thought just knowing about Him or going to church or being a good person got me in. Those things are good, but they don't. Jesus had to die for you, and you have to receive it. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in here you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Nobody's looking around. You have to make that first step. If you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. If you had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, a bad decade, just repent and ask God to forgive you. But if you're here and you could say, I've never asked Jesus into my heart, you have to officially ask Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just raise your hand, anybody at all wants to receive Him this morning? Father, I don't see any hands here, but there might be somebody listening that needs to receive You. And if that is you I'm talking to and you can hear me right now, all you simply have to do is say, Lord, I believe in You. Just confess that you believe in Him. I believe You died and rose again. I ask You to come into my heart. Thank Him for saving you. And give Him glory for it. And get connected in a Bible teaching church where you're going to hear all these things to do that will be a blessing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, I certainly love all of you. Appreciate you. Do the Word. Don't forget, we have goodies over in the Old Sanctuary, Wednesday night service, 6:30. Oh, we're doing communion today? Well, praise the Lord, we're doing communion today. Amen. I just keep going, you know. Let's go ahead and serve the people. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love communion days. I just forget when they are. And like three people told me it was this week. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for reminding me. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him as the elements are being passed out. Make a new commitment to Him today. Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, praise God. What if? Amen? I've never preached while communion is being passed out, but I just got to keep preaching. What if you actually did it? I always think of the young lady that went to Pastor Tim's church in Jamestown. I got to preach at a Friday night service they had years ago. And I was preaching about doing the Word. And when you talk about doing the Word again, you talk about money because that's where people struggle. And I said from the pulpit, I said, what if God's Word was actually true? What if He actually will do what He says to do? And said, it's not working your way anyways. Why not just do the Word of God? I said, what if? And she came up to me after service, a few months later, in tears, sobbing. She said, Pastor Mike, I don't know if you know, it was a big crowd that night, but I was in that service on that Friday night. And she said, you said something. She said, I've heard you talk about tithing and Pastor Tim talk about tithing. And she said, it's just something I just made up my mind. I was never going to do it. But you said, what if the Word was true? And what if you actually did the Word? And she was in tears and she said, I've started tithing. She said, I can't tell you the blessings that have poured into my life since I started doing the Word of God. We rejoiced. I hugged her. Man, it was... And I said, I wish I could line everybody up to give a testimony about when they did the Word of God and how they were blessed for doing it. He loves you. Amen? He loves you. Glory to God. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, of course, this is a time we remember what Jesus has done for us. It's a special time. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take and eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Go ahead and take the bread and break it and eat. Father, we thank You for the body of Christ that was broken for us. By His stripes, we are healed. We thank You. He was broken so that we wouldn't have to be. We thank You, Jesus, for what You endured and went through in Your physical body. Verse 25 says, after the same manner, the same way, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. This cup represents the blood of Jesus. Let's go ahead and drink. Lord, we thank You for the blood that was shed so that we could be forgiven and we could be clean and white as snow. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for it. We praise You and glorify You and magnify You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you pass your cups to the end, towards the center. Well, don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. Don't forget goodies over there. And don't forget if you're an usher, if you could hang out after service for just a little bit, we'll have a meeting. But have a good rest of your weekend. You are dismissed.